And then I'll make a reference to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And somewhere along the way, I'll make reference to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Just if you were trying to bookmark passages of where on earth Jimmy's going to take us. So, let's open in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Heavenly Father, we are fallen in Adam, and we're sinful in our actions, in our words, and in our thoughts. Oh Lord, would you use your word to do heart surgery on us, so that we would hate sin all the more, and that we would love Christ and his remedy for it. Would you be pleased by the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in our hearts, in our love for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The malignancy of sin is my assignment for this morning. And for us to understand that, I'd like for you to turn to Mark chapter 1. And let's take a look at verses 40 through 45. In my Bible, it says, Jesus cleanses a leper. It should be noted that it does not say that Jesus heals the leper, but he cleanses a leper. I'd kind of like for you to keep that in the back of your mind. Why would the Holy Spirit not say heal, but rather cleanse? You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes in what he tells us through his word. And if there's an apparent word that isn't used, there's probably a good reason why he chose that word. The gospel reads, and a leper came to him, that is Christ, imploring him and kneeling, saying to him. Now, this is the leper's predicament. This is the leper that sees himself, as Luke says, full of leprosy. He's not just leper in one spot. He's completely filled with it. Now, do you know what happens to a leper? A leper, when they have the rash, when they have a spot, when they have an element that looks leprous, they are automatically put outside the camp. He sees himself as separated from the people of God. But here comes a leper approaching God, approaching Christ, and he's imploring him and kneeling and saying, if you will. It's not a question of ability. If you will, Christ, you have the power, but if you will, you can make me clean. The leper understands his situation. He's unclean. He understands who Christ is. He has power. But it's a matter of, Lord, do you desire to do this? Do you desire to make me cleansed? If you will, you can make me clean. Oh, would you look at our Savior? His wonderful response is in verse 41. You want to see an exalted view of Christ? How does Christ treat someone that comes to him that is defiled, that is unclean? Moved with pity. With compassion. Oh, for a hatred of the fall and all of its ramifications. He sees someone that has been ostracized. And he's moved with pity. And he does the unthinkable. To those that are surrounding him, he stretches out his hand. He stretches out his hand and he touches him and says to him, I will. I will. Oh, leper, make no mistake about the desire of the Savior. He wills. He wills to cleanse you. It is his desire. It is his good pleasure. And he says, I will be clean. Mark's favorite word that is used some 40-something times in this gospel is now seen in verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him. It didn't take a week. It didn't take a long time. It wasn't some injection and we hope that it works. It happened instantaneously at that very moment. Does this not show us the deity of Christ? Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for the proof to them. Well, how did the leper respond? The leper went out. And he began to freely talk about it and to spread the news. And then it became the predicament of our Savior. What was it that was going to happen to Christ? Well, he could no longer come into the cities. But now the predicament of Christ is that Christ could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. Isn't it amazing that they reversed places? The leper was once an outcast, and now Christ was basically outcast. Now, why did Jesus tell this leper to go and show himself to the priest? Well, because of some chapters that we find in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Now, if you were to read these two chapters, which I'm not going to, they're very lengthy, and we find that there's over 70 distinct kinds of leprosy. Normally, when we think of leprosy, we think of Hansen's disease, HD, Hansen's disease. And Hansen's disease it's horrible, it's horrendous. It's a disease that causes our nerves not to feel. But leprosy in general is just a skin disease. And as you read Leviticus 13 and 14, it almost reads like a manual on dermatology. If your skin looks like this, then this is what happens. But Jesus was obeying the law. And for a person to be cleansed of leprosy, they needed to go through a certain process. See, people didn't just get healed of leprosy. One rabbi said it this way. It would be easier for a person to rise from the dead than for a man to be healed of leprosy. That's what rabbis thought. But leprosy was something that alienated that person from everyone else. It not only alienated them, but leprosy is communicable. It passes from one person to the next. The bacilla in it will get into the fabric of your clothes. It can be inhaled and then it can take its damaging effects. It contaminates a person. It makes them defiled. Leprosy is incurable, especially at that time. Now, back in 1982, yes, a cure actually was able to come up for Hansen's disease. But it's incurable. It's loathsome. Oh, the people that had leprosy were often ridiculed, thrown rocks at. They were outcast from society. It pervaded not just in one part of their body, but the whole part of their body. Have you ever seen pictures of someone with leprosy? Their face will start to look like a lion. Limbs will start to disappear. Because what it does is it stops you from feeling. And so you may hurt yourself, like burn yourself in a fire, and you'll never know it, and you'll keep on doing what you've been doing. It's horrible. But friends, Leviticus 13 and 14 is not just to tell us about skin issues. And neither is Mark chapter 1 dealing with the leper that was cleansed, just concerned about lepers. See, leprosy is analogous to our sin problem. Our sin problem alienates us from God and from others. It's contagious, it defiles, and there's not a cure for it. It is pervasive, and it causes us not to feel things towards God. Yes, it is incurable, and in the end, it's fatal. It's deadly. See, if it was just a disease, then you might be able to take a shot and get healed. But see, you're not sick with sin. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. You are defiled. You are separated from God, and you need the Savior to cleanse you. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In dealing with the malignancy of sin, its contamination, Jerry Bridges in his book writes, "Sin is a spiritual and moral malignancy. Left unchecked, it can spread throughout our entire inner being and contaminate every area of our lives, even worse. It often will metastasize from us into the lives of other believers around us." So much so that it's our actions, our words, and oftentimes even our private unspoken thoughts tend to have an effect on those around us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. We are given a prohibiting command. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. But not only is there a prohibiting command, there's also something that's positive. Stop doing this and start doing something else. If you're in Christ, you put off the old man and you put on the new. What is the new? The positive command is, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion. We're not to let corrupt words come out of our mouth, but rather we're to think of what are the gracious things that could come out of our mouth that will actually build the person up for this particular situation, for someone that is created in the image of God and needs to be treated as such. Not only is there a prohibiting command, a positive command, but there's a purpose clause. Ephesians 4:29, he gives us a purpose. What is the purpose? So that it might give grace. So it might give grace to those who hear. You need to hear some grace today? Do you want to be one that gives grace in your communication? Paul says, let no corrupting, no malignancy come out of your mouth, but only as such is good for the building up, for edifying the saints and those around you as fits the occasion. Why? Why should we do that? Because we want to look like our Savior, that it might give grace to those that hear. Bridges goes on, he says, our speech, whether it's about others or to others, tends to tear down or to build up. We have two options, two things that are before us. It could tear down, it could build up. It either corrupts the minds of our hearers or it gives grace to them. He's saying the same thing, but now in different words, right? Such is the power of our words. Bridges goes on, he says, if I gossip, I both tear down another person and corrupt the mind of the listener. If I complain about difficult circumstances of my life, I impugn the sovereignty and the goodness of God. And I tempt my listener to do the same. In this way, my sin metastasizes into the heart of another person. Oh, friends, I'm afraid that I often complain. I'm afraid that my words don't always build up. And it doesn't just affect me. It does. But as Bridges points out, it affects other people. And it affects God. I need some help. I need a remedy for this situation. The remedy is back in Mark chapter 1. See, I told you a little bit that both the leper and Jesus changed places, right? They switched spots. Oh, but in a greater sense. Well, let's see, how do... lay hold of this. How is it that I can be cleansed? How is it that Christ can bear it for me? Well, the Savior and the sinner can change places. Our guilt can be laid upon Him. Our defilement can be laid on Him. His righteousness can be given to us. His cleansing power can have a power in our lives. See, the leper came to Christ, which is symbolic of sinners coming to Christ. And they come to Christ in a desperate situation, seeing that they're full of leprosy, that they have nothing to gain, nothing to give, nothing that they can lay hold of Christ but plead upon His mercy. They come desperately. The leper came to Christ. Lord, You're my only help. You're my only hope. In fact, he comes to Christ imploring Him and kneeling to Him, kneeling to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and saying, You are God, and only You can save. We need to see the desperate situation of our sinful hearts, and we reverently come to Christ. We come with urgency, imploring Him with humility. We don't presume that He will be gracious to us. We know that He's gracious, but He doesn't owe it to us. If You will, Christ, if You will, cleanse me of my sin. And Christ looks at the one like that, moved with compassion. Friends, this is our Christ that's moved with compassion for me, for you, for all of us, so that we're not alienated, so that we're not defiled. We humbly come to Him. Lord, only You can do it. And we believe that He has the power to do it. That's our faith. That's how this happens. And then we're cleansed. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you need to hear a word like this? Oh, I need this word more than anything else. But some of you guys are believers, and so salvation has already occurred. Do we still need to hear about this for day in and day out activities? Absolutely. Bridges gives us a little warning that I think is so helpful. We might suffer from redeemed relativism. You're like, oh no, I'm not a relativist. Well, hold on. Let's just see. Yeah. We who are believers tend to evaluate our character and conduct relative to the moral climate in which we live. Since we usually live at a higher standard than society at large, it is easy for us to feel good about ourselves and to assume that God feels that way also. But that would be a grave mistake. because we fail to reckon with the reality of sin still dwelling within us. Bridges says, acceptable sins are subtle. They're subtle in the sense that they deceive us into thinking that they are not so bad, or not thinking about them at all, or even worse, not even thinking about them. Pardon me, not thinking of them as sin, and even worse, not thinking about them at all. Picking up on the Puritan, Ralph Vining, who helps us with this, he brings up this nice situation. Ralph writes, the Puritan, I have read of a glass kept in an idol temple in Smyrna that would make beautiful things appear deformed, and deformed things appear beautiful. Carnal sense is such a glass to wicked men. It makes heavenly things which are beautiful to appear deformed, and earthly things which are deformed to appear beautiful. In talking about this Puritan, Bridges says, over the space of only a few pages in The Sinfulness of Sin, Ralph Vining says that sin is ugly. It's vile. It's insidious. It's malignant. It's persistent. It's pernicious. It's heinous. It's spiteful. It's poisonous. It's virulous. It's villainous. It's abominable. It's deadly. Bridges goes on and says, to put it bluntly, our sin is an assault on the majesty and the sovereign rule of God. It is indeed cosmic treason. All sin, whether large or small in our eyes, all sin is against God. Therefore, when I indulge in any so-called acceptable sins, I am not only despising God's law, but at the same time, I'm despising God himself. Now, I made mention this earlier, guys, is that sin defiles. It defiles us. It impacts others. That's what Bridges was saying earlier, right? But it also impacts our relationship with God. Do you remember when David committed his heinous sin? And how Nathan confronted him? In 2 Samuel 12, this is what's said to King David. To despise the word of the Lord, to do what is evil in his sight. You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken his wife, have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. It's not just despising his law, but it's despising God himself. Friends, we need to see how cancerous sin really is. It affects us, it affects those around us, and it's ultimately against God. And the good news is, as we saw in Mark chapter, that Christ cleanses those that are defiled. Thank him for his cleansing power. And let's remember the truth of what God says about our sins. We're leprous, and we need to be cleansed. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, it cuts us. It cuts me. Lord, the last thing I want to do is to despise your law and to despise you. Would you give grace to us so that we might walk in newness of life? so that we would be the saints that you have called us. We thank you that there is mercy with Christ, that he has compassion and pity upon those who are repentant. Oh Lord, give us power
to walk in newness of life. Help us to hate that which you hate and to love that which you love. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.